Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, affected, protected, and never detected. This is the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. This podcast is sponsored by humility. You can never have enough. Maybe you can. I don't know. You can probably have too much. That would be a monk, right? You just sit there quietly and say nothing. Nothing to contribute. How much would ego... How much is ego involved in contributing? There's nothing worse than talking to somebody that reminds you of how much ego plays into a conversation. You talk to those guys, get it all figured out. How's it going? Good. What's going on? Nothing. How you been doing? Fine. My God, it used to drive me crazy. Talk. Where's your ego? Let's get into it. Well, today is my birthday. Said it's my birthday. 52 years I made it. Crazy. Some people that I thought lived a little bit better, safer life have already gone. Gone before me. My buddy Scott, my buddy Talon. So many of my friends. I've lost a lot of friends in sobriety too. But here I am, 52. Halfway home. I love that song. You know, it's I was telling somebody the other day, you know, it's tough getting old. A lot of people rely on you, especially if you get sober, right? You get a life, get a family, take care of them. Everybody counts on you. You work, bend over backwards to be a great dad and a great husband or whatever it is. People get used to that. I'm good at making dinner, so now I make dinner every night. I'm good at making breakfast. I make breakfast every morning. I'm good at these things. I do them every day. Then I'm like, how come I have to do this every day? You're good at it. Oh. Boo. And then when somebody else tries to do what you're so good at, you're like, oh, come on, let me just take care of it. Get out of the way. These are all good problems. Good problems to have. But, you know, 52 years old, 12 years sober, and I can still get caught up into the I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility game. A victim. Justified resentments. I bought a book. I ordered it. It's not here. Where's my book? But I did want to look at, not like this other book that I'm going to read is any better, but Recovery by Proxy. Recovery by proxy. They, the promises, will always materialize if we work for them. What else will materialize if you work for it? If you want to learn about humility, if you want to learn about spirituality, if you want to learn about higher power, if you want to learn about ego, go for a run. That's it. Do a run. Do you run at all? No? Okay. Well, find a corner to run to, make a goal, and start working it. Do you want to be a runner? How much of what you want to do is based on how much information you're gathering? You know, I'll look at a guy running, just, you know, tearing up a wicked pace down the road. I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to be that guy. I want to run, you know, with the cool, like, gear, you know, little belt with a couple little water bottles and stuff, some cool shoes. Guy looks good running down the road. Guy or girl, whatever, looks good, you know, out there on their own, fighting a good fight. That's what I want to be. How much of that information, of that scene, of that moment do I take and build for me to want to be something like that? You know, I don't look at all the hard work it took to get to that point where you can run. I just like that. You know, I'm in the hair business. People bring me pictures all the time. And it's funny what the pictures that they bring. I brought a picture. Like, oh, great, let's see it. It's like a supermodel. It's like a 70-year-old woman brings in a supermodel. I like this hair. I'm like, well, I don't know if we can do that. And when I was early on in my career as a hairdresser, I would be like, sounds good. And I would work my ass off to try to make that hair like hers. You know, change that, get that picture. And I started to realize, I can't do that. You can't do that. I had to start analyzing, what part of this picture do you like that you're basing everything on? And it could be as even as a smile or bangs or how the eyebrows are or something that has absolutely nothing to do with the haircut. And they like that. I like this. I'm like, okay. So now I say, what part of this am I looking at? I mean, I can tell. I mean, we both know this isn't the haircut you're going to get, right? It's not. This is, I don't know, some supermodel who's in their 50s. It's usually, you know, like, oh, I actually really like the way the bang looks. Or they'll bring a picture of a color of hair. And I'm like, okay, what point at the color you like? Because a lot of the times what I see and the color that they like are two different colors. So I find out what it is. What is it that, about this picture? What is it about this person running that I like, that I want to be like? Or is it the fact that I'm... jealous, or I'm even spending any time focusing on this person? Is that the part of the story? Is that what I want people? Is that what I want? I want to be the runner, and people go, look, I wish I was like that. I mean, what is it about it that I like? When the reality is, it's a big process. It's a humbling process to become a runner, or somebody that even is kind of a runner. Running sucks. We all know this. You've hated it since PE, right? I'm going to be running next week. Oh, God. But there is something that comes from running that opens the mind. People say, oh, it's a runner's high. Maybe. I don't know. It's a good title. But if you're suffering like that, a lot of doors are opening up. I've sat here at this table across from people and talked about the same topic, and it comes in different ways, but it's the same thing. Self-centered fear disappears. The ability, not that you can do more. Running doesn't say, now you can do this. Running says, now you think you can do this. Not a free ride. It's not a free ride. But it's a gateway. I did a podcast with a guy the other day. He goes, yeah, I was listening to one of your podcasts. He said, you're a poet. You said you're a poet. I'm like, I'm not a poet. He goes, well, I was listening to one of your podcasts and you were saying you're a poet. And I was like, yeah. What I was saying is that when I run, I become a poet. I become a songwriter. I become a screenwriter. I become anything. You know, if I'm sitting here, I wanted to run today. I always try to run on my birthday. I guess this year I won't be able to. I'm sure it's happened before, but I'm not running today. And so I'm just regular guy, you know. And I'm, you know, ask me today, do you think you could be a screenwriter? I'd be like, no, of course not. I've never, done that. But run. Go for a run. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I might be able to if I just had the right support or, you know, met the right guy or the right girl or, you know, somebody to help me. I could maybe. I think that's why I've gotten myself into so many freaking crazy positions here. Because of running. I remember when I was running, I don't know, years ago, and I was like, why can't I create a social media app? I mean, what's the difference? What's Facebook really? And this was 10, 15 years ago. I mean, what is it really? It's a line. What's on your mind or what's going on? And then a bunch of people. Like, why can't I make that? Maybe I could just make an app for my area. I'm out there running. Hell yeah, I got this. It's going to be huge. And I go off ideas after I finish running, and then, you know. But I look back at them and go, that was kind of silly. What'd you do that for? Fucking running. Running tricked you. And that's why I podcast. You know, been out running. Like, I could podcast. What is it really? It's just a person talking. You could do that. Nothing's stopping you. Damn running got me into it again. It's amazing. What's more amazing is so many people, even myself included, live in moments where I'm paralyzed by fear, self-centered fear of what I can't do. I can't do that. I'm not smart enough for that. I don't have enough money for that. It's easy, right? Because I tell you what, when you get into something, some cool project that you're running or suffering has allowed you to have a moment of clarity and think that you can do something, it's going to usually require a shitload of work. I think that's why I own a hair salon. Running. Out running. I could own my own. Screw these people. I can own my own hair salon. Then I have my friend Matt's like, if you want to get a hair salon, let's start. Let's, you know, I'll help you. Point me in the right direction. What you did, now here I am, 10 years later with a hair salon. Running. But running is really just suffering and inconvenience. What's your inconvenience? What's a perfect life for you? What is a perfect life? Do you think a perfect life is that you have, let's say someone says, you know what, I'm going to send you $1,000 a month. You don't even have to work. $1,000 a month isn't really enough to get rich, but you could survive, right? Depending on where you live, you're not going to survive on $1,000 a month in California, but, you know, maybe New Mexico or, you know, Texas or even Delaware, there's probably places where you could find rent and have enough money. Now, let's say you're going to make $1,000 every 2 weeks. So you could probably cover rent and you could have, you know, enough money for food and gas. You could basically have a place to live, have a car, and have food without having to work. Does that seem ideal? Does that seem perfect? Is your goal in a perfect world, in your perfect world, would be not to have a job? I mean, that's how I used to think. I wish I didn't have to work. But working is an inconvenience, right? Sucks. The job, gotta go to work. Ugh. But that is what fuels your spirit to go on. You know? If you're just doing nothing but sitting around eating. I mean, so what do you do when you don't have a job, right? Just watch TV. I mean, you'd be so bored, right? Is your mind open enough to realize how much working is helping? It's just like running. It sucks. Suffering. I mean, even, like, I have a job, I'm a hairdresser, I have my own hair salon. That means I walk in, I open the door with my own key, I open the door, nobody's in there, no boss. I work with a couple girls, co-workers. No one gives us any shit. We play whatever music we want. We wear whatever we want. You know, trying to be respectful, but we don't dress in all black. I worked in one of those salons. What a fucking joke that was. All black. We wear what we want. You know, we all look nice. They do. I'm not sure I do, but they do. And we work. Even that job gives me anxiety. I don't want to go to work. Ooh. It sucks. It's an inconvenience. The soft, squishy side of me would rather sit on the couch and do nothing. And tells me, that's our goal. Let's do nothing. The tough side of me is like, you got to go to work, man. This is your only saving grace. This is all you got. This is what keeps you in check, is going to work, a job. Just like running. I don't want to run. It's something I have to do. It keeps me in check. It's the same thing with volunteering, going to church, attending a meeting. They're huge things to us, but they really, they're really about inconveniencing ourselves. When they say, if you like a meeting, go, you're probably going to the wrong meeting. You know, it shouldn't be a good time. I mean, of course it's a great time, but it shouldn't be something we're looking forward to all day. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this meeting. And listen, I've been doing meetings for 20 something years, you know, in the mode of recovery. I mean, I've been doing meetings for 35 years. 10 of those were not in the mode of recovery. They were in the mode of, I got caught again and get these people off my back. But, you know, since 1994, I've been attempting to get sober. I've had my ups and downs, but it's all been really about getting sober. And there's been times, you know, when I was early, there was a person in the meeting that I really liked, and I looked forward to seeing them. So then I would think, okay, I can't wait to go to this meeting, you know. Meetings are supposed to suck. They really suck when you get, like, some years behind you. Like, man, shit, I could probably not go to this meeting. Oh, this is a great... Especially this time of year, my wife told me that football starts this weekend. I love football. I mean, I don't have any jerseys, but I love to watch football. Football's awesome. And Sunday night, you know, especially if, like, the Cowboys are playing or whatever your team is, and, you know, you got to get to that meeting, you're like, ugh. That sucks. That's inconvenient. But that's what we do. You go to the meeting. People are like, I don't know why, but every time I leave a meeting, I feel so much better. Yep, because you inconvenienced yourself. You got out of your comfort zone. You didn't listen to self. It's always that path, the fork in the road. What do I want to do, or what should I do? What I wanted to do is what got us here. What should I do? You should go to a meeting. It should suck. It should be an inconvenience. The same with church. I don't go to church. But, you know, it's the same philosophy, I think. I'm guessing. This is all me guessing. I've read and told. This is what I'm guessing. It makes sense to me. You go to church. You dress up. It sucks. You know, nobody likes it. Oh, I don't want to go. Right? I mean, I've gone to church. I'm not... I it's funny. Like, I'll go to church sometimes and... I'll go to church sometimes, and the next thing you know, I'm like starting to cry. The music, the sound, just being there breaks me down, tears down that self so much that the real spirit and the emotions start to come out, and I'll just get a little bit overwhelmed with the emotion of being in church, and there it is, tears. Because I'd rather be doing something else. It's interesting. It's weird how this works. What are we doing? It is my birthday. I'm super grateful to be here and to be alive and I hope everybody's doing well. I wanted to finish reading that that thing. So sometimes I think making these amends is going too far. No one should have to humble himself like that. However, it is this very humbling of myself that brings me that much closer to the sunlight of the Spirit. AA is not only hope. No, wait a minute. AA is the only hope I have if I am to continue healing and gain a life of happiness, friendship, and harmony. Yep, there it is. They, the promises, will always materialize if we work for them. That's it, right there. They and work. They materialize work. Do the work. Do the work, and they materialize. I mean, work sucks, right? I mean, you can enjoy your job, but it's still something. It's still a thing, right? Do you get that? Do we get that? Do I understand that? I mean, I understand that. Some of my worst days are my days off because they're just a big freaking inconvenience. You know? They're like, oh, Monday and Tuesday. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait till Wednesday. It's my day off. It's such a big deal. And then it comes, and it's like, nothing really going on. And then Thursday, I'm like, geez, I really didn't utilize that great day off I was going to have yesterday. Just days off are, they're really for getting shit done, but they're really not better. Because you're not doing anything. I mean, I know we are. Of course, don't get all fired up. I know, I mean, I was very busy yesterday, but it was like, I'm not really doing anything. If you think it's good, it probably isn't. If you think it's bad, it's probably good. It's tricky. It's tricky. And how's everybody with their sobriety? You know, was the holiday tough? Do you want to be sober? Does it matter? Do you get caught at it a lot? You know, is that a good reason to get sober? Because you keep getting caught at it? You're not good at it? I think so. Are you honest? Is this about honesty? Is it your first time? I don't know. I know that life as I knew it and as we've known it has changed. And I'm not sure what it's ever going to come be like, you know. This is a great time in my life to really be using this program that I've learned that has nothing to do with alcohol. Mind your own business. Love that. You know, keep your nose out of it. Some great, great wisdom to that, you know. And everybody right now has an opinion and is an expert. And then when you're making an effort to stay out of it, to keep your nose out of it, there's always somebody that wants to bring you into it. And it can just really start to wear you out. You know, I've got to recognize it. As much as I, and it's kind of boring, you know, if someone's trying to have a conversation with you and you're not wanting to mix it up with them, they get a little bored. They don't like the conversation, you know? Oh, so-and-so did this. I'm like, yeah, it's terrible. But, it's like, I don't know. I just don't want to get into it. I'm not smart enough to understand what's going on. You know, my wife and I, well, I've always loved The West Wing, the show The West Wing. And my wife and I watch it every night. It's like I've watched The West Wing through, I think there's seven seasons. I've watched all seven. This is probably the fifth time I've been through all seven seasons. I just love the show. It's kind of a look into how, you know, government is. It's a small look. It's really not based. It's not about government. I mean, it's clearly about government, but it's not as much about the government as much as the people that are kind of involved in it. But it's, you know, right now, I think this is the seventh season of yeah, this is the seventh season that we're watching, and, you know, they're running. So Jed Bartlett, who is the president, you know, he, the show starts off with him becoming president. So he's starting his first 4-year term as president, and the challenges of a Republican and Democratic, you know, government, and the stuff that they go through, and it's just super interesting. But there's some, you know, it's fiction, but it's also, there's some truth to it, and we just love watching it. And you know, that government, that kind of president doesn't exist anymore. You know, the part we're watching right now is that he is in his eighth year as president, his last year in his second term, and it's really kind of not much is going on, right? I think they have a Republican Congress, and they're Democrats, so they really, means their hands are tied. They're not going to get much done. And but Leo comes in, he's like, listen, we got 365 days. This is where we broaden our focus. Let's get some stuff done. You know, we got nothing to lose. That's why I always think about, you know, like Trump. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about Trump. I don't hate him. I don't like him. He's, you know, we all know what he does. I mean, I'm not paralyzed by the freaking guy or anything, but you know, he had so many promises. He could have, actually, he probably could have been a pretty good president if he had come in and been like a one-term president and drain the swamp and all the other shit he was going to do. I mean, there, but I think he liked being president. He liked the limelight. He liked his ego, right? So he moved to the middle and tried to preserve his time in the office. And he didn't get anything done. Now, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting thing. You know, Joe Biden lives in this town. He lives down by the beach. And I was driving home, what was it, Sunday or Monday, I was riding home, and his motorcade went by. You know, it was Monday, because where we live at the beach, the first Monday after of Labor Day is, you know, traditionally everyone goes back home, right? We're going back home. School's starting usually the following Tuesday. You know, there was a time where people used to sit out here and, you know, wave everybody goodbye. The season's over. It's the end of the season. Traffic's everywhere. And I look over and there goes Joe Biden's motorcade heading north up to Wilmington. Around all the traffic, you know, state police sirens are rolling. People are moving over like it's an emergency, and it's just your potential next president. I don't know. Whatever. Hey, listen, I hope everyone's having a great day. It is my birthday, so if you want to give me a birthday present, send it. I'll take it. Just kidding. Hope everyone has an amazing day. Peace. Everyone likes to dance to a happy song. Hey, hey. With a catchy chorus and beat so they can sing. have a great day. Bye-bye.